Expert Translator Interview Number 2, Emma Ratcliffe.
As you know, we're completing these Translator Expert interview series so that we can get kind of best practices and lessons from people who have been in the industry a long time so that people in the CTP designation program can, you know, get advice from others who have, you know, gone through some of the same challenges they might be facing.
Okay.
So first off, Emma, could you share how many years of experience you have working as a translator?
As a professional translator, around 6 years. But I've been working in bilingual environments all my life, so I can say in Spanish and English are my two languages.
Mm-hmm. Spanish and English, okay. And you're actually based in Mexico, is that right?
Yes, I'm Mexican-born, but I'm also a British subject.
Oh, okay. And do you have any formal educational background in translation in terms of like training or university courses that you've completed?
As college degrees and that kind, no. But I've been training all my life, I guess, in the works that I've had because of the need. Uh-huh. But one of the things is that I try to train myself in certain things in areas that I work in, for example, and one of them also to help me out with the translations.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that makes sense. I think most of the people that we interviewed mentioned the same thing, that they hadn't taken formal training, but they've been, you know, practicing multiple languages their whole life. So,
yes.
You know. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sometimes you you get a degree in something else. I'm an accountant. And have a diploma in fashion designing, nothing to do one thing with the other, but here I am translating.
Yep. Yeah, there's a big big demand for that for sure. I think you know, in the future there'll be even more demand for translators as, you know, other people from different countries try to work together more and more, like online.
Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the day-to-day responsibilities within your job?
Well, regularly what I initially do is I always check my email. It's very important. You can't live without that. And based on that, I check if I have messages from my clients to work on some things, and then go through mails of other individuals that might be posting works on the internet. I'm a member of Prozy, Translators Cafe, Translators Base, so they always post new jobs every day. If there's something interesting, well, I submit my bid with the required information and make a proposal for them.
I see.
That's the basic initial thing. And then afterwards, if I am working on a current project, I will continue the translation throughout the day. If I finish it, probably not, because most of the work that I do is for some days. I proofread the document, verify everything, grammar, orthography, any corrections that have to be made, so that the text is fluid and properly written. If I finish the translation and do that proofreading, then I submit it to my client via email usually, and request the confirmation of the reception. If I don't have any work at all on translations, but I do have future projects. I worked on things for the future project, knowing what field I am working in, like creating special glossaries and related material to that, as well as term bases and translation memories for it. And if nothing of the above is going on, I do my administrative work. I go to see my accountant, I prepare the invoices of pending jobs that I have already delivered, I check my balances, my bank balance, or other accounts that I work with, just to verify things are going okay and nothing is behind.
Mm-hmm. I see. So it sounds like you keep pretty busy.
Yeah, I try to. I don't like to be sitting down and watching television all day.
That's great. So what are some of the skills that you believe are really necessary to be successful in this area? If there's somebody who maybe has been translating for maybe just 3 years or 4 years and they're still trying to figure out whether they're going to make it or not, like, what do you think are the one or two skills that you think they should try to, you know, get better at or that they should have?
Well, I think that the most important thing is that a person has to really specialize on a certain field of their knowledge. We all say we are translators, but I don't translate certain fields because I don't think I am ready for that. For example, medical.
Right.
Some people might have been working as a social worker, so their area could specialize more on that. I work more into accounting things, and for the last years, my specialization has been more in the engineering areas. Nothing to do with what I had studied, but I've become very skilled on that. So that, I think the main thing is be able to specialize in the field of things that you have worked on, studied before, or you like. Those are the three things that are important.
Right. Okay.
And the second one would always be trying to translate into your mother tongue. If you have a Spanish to English and your mother tongue is English, we'll always try to have more projects to translate into English than to Spanish. Because you have the ability and the facility of working in your mother tongue. And terminology is always important, so that is always use a proper language for the translation.
Right, that makes sense. So when you said you build some special glossaries, but is there a certain brand or type of dictionary or glossary that you like to use, like an online one or one that you've purchased or something that would be helpful for others?
Online, usually when I need dictionaries, I go to a page called Word Magic. It's English to Spanish, Spanish to English. It's very good, very accurate in terminology, and it gives you a lot of terminology in terms of cultural usage.
So I
like that.
Okay.
Others, well, I use the Spanish one, which is the one from Spain, the Real Academia Española, the DRAE, they call it. That's only Spanish, but it gives you a better understanding of how to use other synonyms and acronyms, antonyms. And in English to Spanish, what I use is the Simon & Schuster dictionary, and also the I have related field dictionaries to work on. Also, that depends on which one of the areas you're working. You use.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. So so what about when somebody, is starting out as a translator during their first few years? I would imagine maybe the types of projects they can work on are much different than maybe what you're working on now. So when somebody starts out, what types of projects should they expect to be able to work on?
Well, when you're starting off, you should really try simple material, something that is not too complicated, too technical probably, and move onwards in regards to the experience you acquire in that process. So it's always try the simpler the better. That's the rule. Yes.
And for people that are working as a freelance translator, some of them might be working by themselves in their house and doing translations from home, and they might feel kind of isolated, so they might not know whether they're being paid, the same as everyone else or less or more. And so what would be, someone in their first 3 to 5 years of career, what types of rates do freelance translators usually see, when they work on these types of projects?
Well, usually what happens is that when you show that you don't have enough experience, outsourcers or clients can take advantage of that. So they would offer you a smaller rate, a lower rate.
Okay.
I know for sources that the ATA says, well, the minimum should be 12 cents a word. Well, if you're beginning, you can lower it down and work it out with the client.
Right.
And as you go on, well, increase it as you think you should be receiving the money's worth.
Sure.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So on average, I would say now for someone between after 3 years, more or less, would be between 7 or 9 cents a word.
Sure. Okay.
Yes.
And then, so in terms of like your job as a translator, What do you think is like the best thing about it? Is it working from home, or is it choosing your clients, or being able to specialize in a field that you like, or?
Well, for me, the translation field has become something which is more like a challenge. It's a challenge for me. Every single project I receive it expecting anything. So it becomes a challenge being able to produce a good translation, to use the most accurate term, to provide the best word for it. So it, in general, it becomes a real challenge for me. That's right. One of the things that I like about translations.
Okay. Well, yeah. My next question was, what was the what's the biggest challenge of your work? But it sounds like maybe the fact that every project is different might be one of those biggest challenges.
That would be one. And I think that the other major challenge that we, the biggest challenge is always, I guess, deadlines.
Yeah.
Yes. Deadlines, I think, is the most challenge for any translator. Some clients have these unrealistic deadlines. And you have to work out the client to make them see that sometimes it's not feasible.
Right.
And that no matter how many CAT tools you have, or how fast you type, or how good you are as a translator, timing won't, you won't make it. You won't make it. You have to be sincere about it.
Sure, that makes sense.
So I think that would be the worst challenge is, I love what I do, but no matter what I do, I can't meet the deadline.
I see. Okay. Yes. And what about for somebody who's already, you know, probably doing pretty well as a translator, but they'd like just some career coaching or career advice from somebody more experienced? You know, what would be your top two or three tips for just becoming a really successful translator?
Well, always be truthful about what you know. Don't accept jobs that you can't really handle, or on fields that you don't really work, because it will probably create a burden on you, and you'll spend much more time doing it than if you were working with something within the field that you've specialized. That would be number one.
Okay.
And number two would be, in regards to be sincere with your client as much as you can, in terms of, well, the deadline, it's not the one that I want. The subject is not, I'm not as good as that, as I am, but we'll try to make the best out of it. And of course, providing the service in general to your client, always be aware that you have to be in constant contact with your client.
Right. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Great. And then on the other side of that, you know, some people might, you know, everybody's made a mistake or two in their career, or something they could have done a little bit differently. And some people might want to learn, you know, from somebody more experienced and avoid some of the common mistakes or the most costly mistakes. And so I was wondering if you had a mistake that either you have made or that you've seen a translator make that others could learn about by sharing it.
Yes, it happened to me with a client that I have. He proposed a deadline, and I said, well, yes. And then I delivered, and when I reviewed the work again, I said, I looked at it, and then some of the wording wasn't as correct as it should have been. But because I wanted to deliver on the deadline, I missed that precise wording. So at the end, well, I made a commitment to myself to really review everything and try to make the text as fluid as it should be. Of course, trying not to hurt the process of meeting the deadline, but I sometimes believe that because of the deadlines, you then tackle a lot of failures within the text. So it's better sometimes to be sincere with the client and tell them, you know, give me one more hour, and I'm finishing proofreading just to make it as perfect as possible for you. And that is, I think that is important. Yes.
Right. Yeah, it sounds like a lot of this is managing, having many different projects going on and many different client demands, and then managing that with actually doing a great job at the same time.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. So it's always important, meet the deadline, yes, but try to always have the best translation coming out of your work as possible, and even if it has to be an hour, or probably half a day, or probably a day, at the end the client will understand that it's better, that it was better, because they have a great text.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. And in running the Certified Translation Professional program, we sometimes work with people who have maybe 10 years of experience in two different languages. Mm-hmm. Maybe they've done a little bit of in-house corporate translation work or a little bit on the side, but they've never really worked as a translator. And some of them, you know, go through our program to, you know, make that jump. And so I was wondering, you know, in your position, what recommendations would you have for somebody who would like to get their career started as a translator or move over their career to the path of being a translator?
Well, if you're very young, let's say 20 to 22 years old, I think sometimes an in-house project, is a good way to start. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Because you acquire the knowledge of how it works, the administration, how it all moves, everybody's work, the flow of it.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And then probably from there you can move on to being an independent freelance translator. Mm-hmm. Or you can begin being as a freelancer. One of the things is that sometimes it becomes very frustrating for a person to begin as a freelancer.
Right.
Because you really have to do a lot of work to get to be known and proving that you're good at it. Whilst when you're in as an in-house translator, projects come in all the time. Uh-huh.
Right.
So that would be the difference between one or the other. And you can become specialized either an in-house translator or as a freelance translator, doesn't matter. But I always believe that being in-house probably make you waste time, because maybe you're not always working, and you're there, so you have to be there as a freelance. You can do other things. Uh-huh.
Right, right.
Yes.
That makes sense. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I heard you mention Word Magic and Prosy and Translator Space and Translator's Cafe. Are there any other like really great websites that are just really helpful if you're a translator that you should know about, or maybe, you know, a couple that you might know about that others may have missed out there?
Well, you can go to the ATA's website. That's great. The British one, which is the ET, the uh-huh. ITI. The French have a wonderful website for their linguistic members. So it all depends also on the area of the languages that you handle, of course.
Sure.
I don't get much involved in French because I speak in the minimum.
Sure.
But if I were a translator to French or spoke French, probably I would be there. I have no knowledge of any other languages, but probably they're many out there.
Right.
So it all depends on the language you handle.
Uh-huh. Okay, that makes sense.
Yes, yes, yes. Uh-huh.
And then, you know, many people pay a few $100 to complete the Certified Translation Professional, the CTP program. And we were just wondering here at the end of this interview, if you had any one last piece of advice that, in your mind at least, you think would be worth, you know, $400 or more. And it's just something where it might be something you've already mentioned during this interview, or it might be something you have not mentioned, but, you know, what's your most, you know, valuable, like, one piece of advice? If people forget everything else that we talked about here today, if they just remember one thing, what would be, like, the most valuable thing to remember?
Well, you have to be aware that it's a slow process to be known, so it takes its time.
Mm-hmm.
We sometimes bid on jobs that we think are would be just one for us. If you don't get it, don't worry. There are mm-hmm. many jobs out there. So mm-hmm. don't lose the drive. Continue within the industry. It's all worth working for.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And great. The satisfaction you experience when you see your work afterwards, when it's published probably uh-huh. anywhere. For me, the final word is always flabbergasted.
Yeah, no, that's a great piece of advice. I know that many people, might have a friend or two they work with, but many people work, by themselves as freelance translators. So getting, this type of direct advice and encouragement from you is probably very helpful to many of them, I'm sure.
Thank you.